Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGEN Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back. It is Super Bowl week. It is the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia fucking Eagles. Finally, that last week was horrendous. The Pro Bowl was absolutely trash. It was just stop NFL. Just stop doing it. Just get rid of it altogether. All of it was super cheesy and a waste of time for everybody. But it is Super Bowl week. So we have one more slate, and this is the showdown edition of the Super Bowl. There are some massive prize pools out there. We'll get into it because this is going to be a lot much more of, in my opinion, talking about strategy, talking about what captains we really want to play, and really just how to get different. Because some of these contests are just massive with 500,000 people in them and all that ridiculousness. I think there's some other options I would be looking at other than that, but we'll get into it. But Maddie is back again. He was off playing Harry Potter's Wizarding World of whatever.
That's right.
You know, out here
on a Kev.
Had to, you know, pull him away from that to get him over here to talk about this. And then D-Bro, once again, rocking with us, Fantasy Pros. And I also say, be sure to go check out his Showdown Primer over on Fantasy Pros. A lot of good information, a lot of good nuggets in there. So go check it out. Got to hype that, you know. But I appreciate you joining us once again. For the last time until September.
The last time until tomorrow. And when we talk, different show.
But, yeah. But last time for the DFS boys until September.
What are y'all talking tomorrow? Draft?
Senior Bowl, baby. Just got back.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time, man. Nah, Kev DMs me about this kind of stuff. He's ready for the smoke. He wants all the action. So, you know, I think this is going to be a good game, boys. I'm ready. I want one question, just one question, Kev, before I know you got to host and you got to steer the show and all that kind of good shit. But give me the go-to, fellas. What's the go-to Super Bowl food? For me, it's the wings. And I'm not talking about adult chicken nuggets. I'm not talking about any of that bullshit. Don't give me your boneless takes. I don't want to see you eat wings nuggets with a fork. Like, I want some fucking, like, get some sauce on my hands. Like, I want to sit here and eat some goddamn wings. But what do y'all go with?
Yeah, it's wings, too. And then my wife tends to make, she'll actually be out of town this weekend, but she usually makes buffalo chicken dip, which I'll see if I can.
So I was going to say, all I hear is Maddie is going to make the buffalo chicken dip.
My dad and brother and mom are going to be in town to watch the game since my wife's not going to be here. So and my dad and brother are phenomenal cooks, so. I think they're gonna pick up some wings on the way home and or on the way over, and I'll see if I can get my brother to cook up some of his buffalo chicken dip. That's really good. Those are usually our two go-tos.
Yeah, obviously wing is a staple. I think smoked queso is phenomenal.
Okay. I can get down with that.
Yeah,
that's very good. Bacon wrapped smokies, like put some of that brown sugar and all that on there, is amazing.
I told my wife that this was Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and she is like the Macron. She had to correct me on my pronunciation of this. The Macron King. She's like, oh, I can make macarons in the shape of footballs and stuff. And I was like, yes, you can.
It is. It's phenomenal. The food is awesome. One of the best parts.
Absolutely, man.
So no, yeah, those are all great. I think those are like the kind of the go-to. I don't think I'm really forgetting any. I mean, obviously, there's other stuff. People do a bunch of all kinds of stuff. Have you ever had smoked cream cheese before?
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
No. So what you do is,
that sounds absolutely beautiful.
You just take a block of cream cheese, and then you put, like, whatever your favorite spices are on top of it, and then you put it in the smoker. You smoke it, and then you just get, like, crackers and use it as a dip. I'm telling you, it is not next bad. Level phenomenal.
Oh, dude, we go with that. That's that sounds absolutely freaking amazing. We also do like these little firecracker. I forget what the name is. We call them firecrackers. And basically, it's like you toss a bunch of like regular like saltine crackers, crushed red, and a dry pack of like ranch and a little bit of olive oil in a bag. Shake them up. Oh man, those things hit hard.
That sounds pretty good too.
Oh, they're ridiculous. It's like Pringles, dude. I keep eating the whole freaking thing. Right. Before I get through it, I'm like, oh my God, I just ate like a whole sleeve of crackers and I have no regrets.
None.
Are you not really on a food take, but do you guys like, because like for me, I've been like this my whole life. Like, I do not like watching sporting events with other people. Like, if it's like,
Kev, you're antisocial, but I never thought that about you.
If I don't have
I cracked up.
Super Bowl, whatever, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I can probably watch other people. It's not a big deal. It still annoys the shit out of me because I have to hear people talk that don't know what they're talking about. And that's what bothers me.
I just hate the talking, like, in the middle of the game and stuff like that. Like, we got intermissions, you know, like, they're going to commercials. That's gravy, dude. But the way that I look at the Super Bowl, it's like watching a movie with people. It's like, don't talk. Like, don't talk during the middle of it. Like, I want to watch the game. I want to be dialed in. As long as it's not freaking Collinsworth doing commentary, I want to hear the commentary. I want to be all up in it, man. So I look at it as the same way as, like, trying to watch a Marvel movie, and people are talking in the middle, and I'm just like the vein pops out, you know, the vein in your neck starts pulsating, your eye starts twitching, you know, bad things happen.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and then you've got, And this isn't to shame, you know, anybody's, you know, amount of dollars they put behind a bet, but you've got Joe Schmo with a $1 bet on something, and he's over there losing his mind over something, and you're, you know, you're just sitting there like,
Maddie, man, you ain't never sweat until you sweat a $1 10 leg parlay, baby. Just saying.
Okay, yeah, parlays are different. I'm talking about like
just saying, man,
the like coin toss and like,
oh yeah,
he's got tails, it lands heads, and he's losing his mind, and you know he's ready to go home and. Yeah, I'm not.
We're not talking props on this one, but dude, I think it's so funny that after all the insider info we got off of social media and various sources, I haven't looked this year, but they've been really late, if not just not posting it on some books, like the length of the national anthem and stuff like that. I think it's absolutely hilarious. They're like, nah, man, they're too sharp. They know what's up. Yep. They can't even do it anymore.
Well, it's because the freaking people that are there at practice.
Send
out the goods to everybody.
I had two or three sources. I think it was like it was not last Super Bowl, but the KC and Buck Super Bowl.
It was when we were working for TQE because
there was a guy in the
Discord was saying that he had a best friend that was in the
he was a security guard. He was videoing it for us. Beautiful.
I definitely think I'm smashing over on the the national anthem because it's Chris Stapleton singing it.
Yeah.
And just the way he sings and everything else. Like,
I long notes, baby.
Yeah. I foresee it going over. I think the last I saw it was 2 minutes and 5 seconds is what I thought it was set at.
I'd have to go back and look.
That's like a pretty standard time. I haven't even
gotten into my like D-gen like prop looking, like as far as Gatorade colors and all that kind of crap.
Gatorade, it's so fantastic.
Well, we just got to figure out what color the Chiefs have used all year and just bet that.
Yeah, or not.
The Eagles ain't winning.
All right.
I'm not saying anything. I don't want to jinx anything.
No, Kev doesn't want to jinx it. My money's on the Eagles, though.
We'll see. Brandon Ayuk.
Talk about it.
Brandon Ayuk said that he would put all of his money.
Yeah, well, Brandon Ayuk is sitting at home talking from his couch. We'll just say about that.
Granted, they didn't have a quarterback, but.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they would have scored 31 points, but
granted, but still, the fact remains. Nonetheless, he's still sitting at his house talking from his couch. So,
well, I get
coulda, shoulda, didn't see a ball out in the game, but it's all good. Ayuk, I love you still.
Let's get into this here. So we got the showdown, okay? Chiefs and Eagles, and they're very similar in a lot of ways. I've been seeing a lot of talk on social media this week that it feels just like the Bengals. Everyone's. Oh, the Philadelphia Eagles is going to crush them, and they're gonna, you know, they're not gonna be able to stop their, you know, their pass rush and also like whatever.
I will say that is the only thing, like, for how much I like the Chiefs over the Eagles for various reasons, strength of schedule and being the main reason, but I just, man, do I have flashbacks to putting the whole house on Kansas City when they played Tampa Bay and Patrick Mahomes couldn't even get out of the freaking pocket.
But that was, well, that's, that offensive line was completely different.
I understand that, but this, I mean, the Eagles front is nasty. And
right, granted, but the Chiefs offensive line has been nasty. I mean, they're top five in adjusted sack rate allowed this year.
Well, Mahomes too is also like
top five in pass protection.
I don't remember who posted the stat, but Mahomes is like league best at not getting sacked when pressured.
I hope they bring the house. I hope they try to bring the pass rush.
Oh, dude!
Because Mahomes eats that a lot. Good. You do not bring.
Well, Philly's. I mean, Philly's just like San Francisco, right? They don't really blitz. They have such a good
pressure
front
of
four.
Our rushing yeah. core.
Right,
they have such
and
a good
we've
front
seen
four.
We've seen the Chiefs play the 49ers defense this year. They dropped 44 on their head,
and that's exactly this is. I mean. I just feel like I'm going to be a broken record from 2 weeks ago to now talking about the 49ers defense and how like the shittiness of the secondary. Okay, the Eagles secondary is probably a little bit better than San Francisco, but
a little bit
better than San Francisco. I'm telling you, I think some of their issues have been masked by the front four. I just think if you give the quarterback time to actually do something. I mean, Dallas hung 40 on them. Like this defense has not been good whenever they played somebody in the top half of league in scoring. They've absolutely dominated the shitty teams like good teams are supposed to. And it's not their fault. You can't knock them for absolutely dominating shitty teams.
Yeah,
right.
Agreed.
So like,
agreed.
They've beaten bad teams like they're supposed to. But I mean, you've got games like against Washington. They lost to Washington. They struggled to beat the Giants in week 18 when they had to win to secure, you know, the number one overall seed. And yes, I know that was Hurts' first game back, but Hurts didn't even look right against San Francisco. Like he was missing throws down the field. And I just think that the Eagles offense is going to have to be very good to keep up with what the Chiefs are going to do, because I just don't see a world. The Chiefs don't score 30 points here. So I personally think it's just going to be a high scoring game. I think the Eagles can definitely have success on the ground. But in the end, I think Kansas City pulls it out with I'll say a 6-point victory.
So, I mean, obviously with Showdown, we know that, you know, your lineups more than anything have to tell a story on how you think this game is going to go. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the pricing and the way that this is priced up, because it's tough. One, you're not realistically probably without being an extremely narrow build of if you want to go like Hurts, Mahomes, Kelce, and like AJ Brown or Devonta Smith, right? If you go with that combo, because you're pretty much at the bottom, you're going to have to play, you know, a Noah Gray or Justin Watson or
Fortson
or Jody Fortson, who's $200. And then for the Eagles side, though, the problem is that the Eagles side. Like it's pretty much Quez Watkins, who's $2,100. Yeah, I get if you want to throw like, you know, or no, I'm sorry, I have the captain on. He's cheaper than that. He's $1,400. And then but Boston Scott, he's $3,000. Like, there's just not any Eagles options that are really cheap. Like, you have to pay up to get to the Eagles. And then the Chiefs have some, you know, because like Juju is $5,600, Kadarius Toney is $4,400, and then you have Sky Moore, who's at $3,800, and then you have down from there, like I said, Justin Watson's $2,000, Noah Gray, who seems to kind of get two or three targets every single game, is $1,200, and then, you know, but so it really leads you down a path of it's easier to stack Chiefs than it is to stack Eagles, unless you're going to completely punt, you know, not play, you know, Patrick Mahomes in a lineup or not play Travis Kelce and go different there, and then, you know, that's where you can have a little bit different of a build. And so, I think, where do you guys see people coming in? Do you think it's going? People are going to be trying to get more heavy on the Eagles, and the Chiefs are going to be less popular, or do you think it's going to be the other way around? Because I feel like I could see it where the Eagles are, because you pretty much have a much better idea of where the targets are coming and where the opportunities are coming. Mm-hmm. Where the Chiefs, it's so spread out that you know, it could be MVS, which is crazy that he's $6,200 on this.
It's a game they had last week. It's
oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. And also not knowing, you know,
he should be priced right below Juju is what he should be.
Probably cheaper than that. I mean, I've played a ton of Chiefs on Showdown this year, and he's usually in like the 3K, 2K range on Showdown.
It's just because of the game last week where everybody dropped like flies and he went for 100.
Yeah, so people that weren't sure who was going to play and who wasn't, so you kind of had to because you would have priced him there. And then, you know, if Juju and Kadarius Toney were also going to miss, then, you know, that would be how, you know. Yeah,
I'm today. I'm today years old that I just realized that Ian Book is on the Eagles. How fun is that?
Dude, Tony was gonna have a big game last game before he got hurt.
He's still not 100%, man.
I know, but just the way they were using him early, and he should have caught that touchdown too.
Well, they're both. I mean, Tony and Juju are both gonna play. So
yeah, they're both gonna play. To answer your question, Kev, I think that one of the ways that I'm gonna sit here and force myself into building. Because I think that the way that pricing is right now and trying to get in the studs, trying to get in the guys you want to play, I think that one of the contrarian builds for this game is going to be wedging in both quarterbacks. I think that a lot of people are going to find themselves playing one quarterback or the other. I think more people are going to play Mahomes over playing Jalen Hurts. Not because of the price, because it's freaking Patrick Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts. So I think that two different ways I'm looking at trying to be different versus the field is being more overweight on Jalen Hurts, and number two, trying to have lineups where I fit both of the quarterbacks in there. Because to be honest, I mean, here's the thing. We look at quarterbacks, or we look at Showdown slates and guys that either have a lot of rushing equity or they spread the ball out a crap ton. Like, where are our games in Showdown where we see quarterbacks be in the optimal, or maybe be in the optimal, or and they don't carry anybody, or they carry like maybe like a tertiary player with them? It's when these guys have high rushing ceilings, or they spread the ball around like a crap ton and no other players hit a ceiling, but yet Mahomes or Hurts goes for 350 and three, and none of his pass catchers, like, he throws a touchdown to freaking Noah Gray. He throws a touchdown to freaking the fullback. He throws a touchdown to a damn offensive lineman, what have you. But Mahomes gets there and brings nobody in the optimal with him versus Jalen Hurts has rushing equity for freaking days, and he considered him pull the Lamar Jackson and be the optimal captain. And maybe he brings along like some cheap player with him. So I think that two ways I'm approaching this is, one, being heavier on Jalen Hurts than being than Patrick Mahomes, and two, trying to force myself to build a lot of lineups, or at least a good bit of exposure to having both quarterbacks. But do y'all see this differently?
I think Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are going to be the two highest owned players on the slate. I think everybody's
going to be the two highest owned captains.
Yes. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts always is because everybody plays him in, like, on Showdown, everybody plays him in.
Do you think Hurts will be higher than Kelsey? Because Kelsey will be the highest.
Nope. Hurts.
Really? Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Like it almost feels like every single time the Eagles are on a Showdown slate, Jalen Hurts is the optimal captain. Every single
time. He's like Lamar. He's the centric part of the offense.
Because of what he brings with his legs. And so I think it's going to be both of them. I think who's going to get squeezed is going to be A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I think people are going to probably rather – you're going to stick A.J. Brown in there no matter what.
See a difference.
Not A.J. Brown, but Jalen Hurts. And I think then what you're going to see is people go down to Dallas Goedert, who is a little bit cheaper and a little bit easier to spit in. He's $6,400 compared to $9,200, $8,600 for A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I also think those two are going to cannibalize each other because you're not really going to be able to play both of them in the same lineup unless you're just going like a complete Chiefs fade where, you know, and you're just going like a 4-2 and without like Travis
Kelce. Well, some of that depends on who you're going with for captain too, how much wiggle room you got.
Right, it'd probably be a little bit easier if you went like Dallas Goedert or something like that. But regardless, you're probably not going to see a lot of A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, you know, in the same lineup. So I think those two are going to be a little bit lower owned than what I think people might think. I think those are going to be a little bit place where you get a little bit different. But I think, honestly, like, if you really just want to get truly different, you would fade Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes, one or the other. And so, because that...
You don't think the popular build is only having one quarterback? Because I think that that's going to be the popular build. The way that people are going to, like... They're going to look at, like, okay... Because you have to make choices with the pricing. It's like, do I play one of the quarterbacks and Kelce, or do I play both quarterbacks? I think most people are going to pick one of the quarterbacks and Kelce. And I think that, and I'm not saying you can wedge all three into a lineup, because honestly, I haven't even tried yet. But I think that it's going to be different to play both the quarterbacks. And I'm not saying to fade Kelce, but to get both the quarterbacks in there over picking one quarterback and Kelce. But again, do y'all see that different, though, with pricing, though?
I just plugged in Jalen Hurts captain with Mahomes and Kelce, and it leaves like $3,800 per. So, it's doable.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you're becoming most of the – you're going to be really – they're going to have a lot of same builds in that. Because you're gonna be kind of limited on the rest of it and what you can do.
Oh, for sure. But I'm pretty much saying, I guess my argument is that
all the scoring goes through those three guys.
Well, no, not that, but fitting all three is doable. So yeah. I think, you know, the fact that you can fit two of them pretty easily is pretty much a lock.
No, I agree. So that's why I think you're gonna be contrarian only playing one of them in a lineup versus playing both.
I'll probably go the double quarterback route.
Man, I think the double quarterback route is where it's at.
I think on the slate too. I think if you really want to get different, you could fade. Like, to me, I think it comes down to, like, when it comes, like, with Kelce, like, I'm perfectly okay, like, with, because of how expensive he is. He's 15.9 as a captain. Now, obviously, you know, Mahomes and Hurts are higher than he is, but. Once you get past Kelce, I mean, it drops down to 13.8, 12.9. I mean, unless you have a really strong lean on another option. But for the most part, when you look at Kelce, he's 15.9. Like, to me, he's almost to the point where if he goes off, like, you're going to have him, right? Like, chances are you're probably going to need him. And so I'm either playing him the captain or I'm okay with fading him. Because I think there's a scenario, especially with all the Chiefs wide receivers banged up and everything else, where the Eagles just say, we are going to take Travis Kelce away. We are not going to let you throw to him. And let's see what else, you know, see what you can do with the rest of these guys. So I'm okay in that scenario of creating builds like that, fading Kelce and either playing him at the captain or not. Because if he doesn't go off, then, you know, that paying that price tag for him and where he's going to cost, or even as, you know, as normal, he's 10.6. I mean, he's only $400 cheaper than Mahomes, $800 cheaper than Jalen Hurts. But there's a pretty significant difference between, you know, Kelce and AJ Brown, or even the next closest Chief.
And we've talked about how bad Kelce's floor can be.
Yes.
when he has low games.
It's going to make you incredibly different because everybody's going to play Kelce, and so it's going to make you incredibly different by doing so. And I think there's other ways they can get there, because, like, one player that I really like, and we kind of saw this in the Chiefs' first Super Bowl, if you remember, that they won. I know, obviously, things are different now, but when they had Damien Williams, and nobody played Damien Williams in that game. He was super low-owned. Everybody avoided him. But I think Isaiah Pacheco is a hell of a pivot. I love Isaiah Pacheco in this game. I think that people are going to be scared away from him because of the Eagles' defense. I think the Eagles' defense can definitely be ran on, and especially when you're dealing with somebody like Patrick Mahomes. And we've seen them shift to much more utilizing him more as a pass catcher than what Jerick McKinnon has been. Jerick McKinnon,
I think McKinnon's hurt
that a little bit. He is. He's been dealing with an ankle injury.
Well, even if he's not hurt, I think that what Kansas City has been doing, and you saw this versus the Bengals, is they said, okay, we know that we have role player running backs. You know we have role player running backs. So when McKinnon's on the field, we're probably going to pass the ball. We might throw it to McKinnon. Probably not going to run the ball as many times. When Isaiah Pacheco is on there, you saw last week versus the Bengals, they flipped the script, man. They threw more targets to Isaiah Pacheco because they're like, you're expecting us to run.
Yeah,
we're going to involve him in the pass game. We're going to throw you a damn curveball.
Smart.
Yeah. I think Pacheco is a fantastic play. And, I mean, I know we're kind of skipping around the board, but if you want to stay on the Chiefs' backfield, Kev, I'm going to have a crap ton of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, dude. I think that if you're looking at a player where nobody's going to want to play him, you look at
just price.
Kansas City has leaned on him in a Super Bowl. Kansas City has leaned on him in a Super Bowl versus Tampa Bay. You look at earlier in the season when he was healthy.
Jesus.
Kansas City leaned on him a ton. Like, in the sense of, like, he got a crap ton of red zone usage, man. Like, when he was being utilized, and it's not like he's been bad this year, because if anybody's out there in the streets telling you he's been bad, I adamantly disagree about that.
He's on the streets. He's right here. He's on the stream.
I mean, right, okay, well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, amongst in weeks 1 through 6, he averaged 12.5 touches, 65 total yards. He scored 5 freaking touchdowns. Over that stretch, he was 17th amongst running backs in high value touches. The guys, I mean, against all running backs, and it's a small. I dropped the sample size just to get some variance in there to see where he'd fall amongst all running backs with at least 50 carries and 20 targets, or one or the other. He's 20th in yards after contact per attempt, and he's 20th in yards per route run. So he's been efficient, and he's been involved in the red zone in high leverage situations. I'm just playing the variance card, guys. Like, people are going to play McKinnon. People are going to play Pacheco. If Edwards-Helaire is active, I'm going to play the variance, and I'm going to play a good bit of CEH.
I mean, I don't hate it.
Would it shock you if CEH scored a touchdown and got 10 to 12 touches in this game?
10 to 12 touches, yes. I would be floored. I would say Isaiah Pacheco.
8 to 10, and he scores a touchdown at 1,500.
Yes, I still think that would be too high. I think he probably could see 2 to 4 touches in this game. Like, I don't think they're going to come in the Super Bowl and all the way everything has been working, the way Isaiah Pacheco has been playing, the way, and because they were phasing him out before he got hurt. Like,
I agree.
And so, like, I don't think now in the biggest game of the year they're going to be like, "Hey, CH, bro, come on, get back out here. We're going to give you 10 to 12 carries or 10 to 12 touches." Like, I just don't see it happening unless, like I said, unless one of them get hurt, then it's possible. I don't mind taking shots of it. It's at the end of the day.
We just talk about, like, showdown, right? Maddie's idea that McKinnon was hurt. What if McKinnon truly is hurt?
Well, but he's also, you know, we've had a 2-week break, you know, for all these guys to kind of heal up a little bit and be in a better spot.
That's fair.
I'm not as worried. But so, like, for these teams, like, we have to remember in showdown, right? Like, all it takes is for one of these guys to score a touchdown, really, and he could catch one pass for 20 yards, get in the end zone, and he's in the optimal because of that. And so, especially at his price at 1K. And so I don't mind taking shots. Like, if you're going to play 150 lineups, or even, you know, even if you're 20 max entering, like, having, you know, 10% Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think is smart, because there's going to be somebody that creeps up here that we're not expecting that's going to be in the optimal. It's just how it happens with showdown. And that's why showdown is so tilting. You can go from first to not cashing in one play. Like, it's
in there.
It's super tilting. So you definitely should have some exposure to some of these cheaper guys. Like, Quez Watkins, I think, is a great play. Because, one, if you look, I mean, he hasn't done anything in a while. But it's mainly because they've just been steamrolling everybody and they haven't needed to throw the ball. Against the Giants, they crushed them. They didn't have to throw the ball. Against the 49ers, he had one target. They didn't have to throw the ball. Like, he is a guy that can see 4 or 5 targets in this game. It is definitely
four games of double digits.
I'll push back on that a little bit. If this was full playing time, Quez Watkins, then I'd be in on it, and I'm totally with you, Kev. But Quez Watkins has been splitting slot snaps with Zach Pascal. And if we're talking about the Chiefs going to bring pressure, they're going to bring the house, you're going to have Chris Jones in his face, Zach Pascal, or they want to run the ball, Pascal is a much better blocker in all facets than Watkins. So
I don't think the Eagles are going to throw the ball as much run the ball as much people think they are going to, because it's the Mahomes effect, it's the Chiefs effect. Like, teams just do not run the ball against the Chiefs because you can't, because you know, of their ability to be able to put up points and a bunch and a quick. And so, like, I don't think they're going to be running the ball as much. So I do think, like, Quez Watkins again, 40-yard touchdown from him. And you know, he's in the optimal at his price tag. I'm not saying we should be overweight on Quez Watkins, but he definitely should be in the, you know, somebody we should be taking a look at, because, I mean, he has multiple games this year with 5 or 6 targets. And so, again, you know, if he gets 4 or 5 targets, and it's very, very possibility at his price, he's going to be in the optimal. You know, if you're running one lineup, no, I'm probably not running, Quez Watkins. But
hey, why not?
But I could never in a showdown format play just one single lineup and be like, all right, this is what I'm playing. Like, I
live a little.
There's but, so much variance in this that it's, it makes it very. Yeah, very there's tough.
That's where it comes down to showdown, and it's totally different than main slate and everything else. And it's just like you have to play with volume to outkick the damn variance. And you these contests. I know we got to talk about it at the very top, but like all these contests are so damn top heavy, man. It's like,
oh, there is a couple that I found that I like. They're not you're not going to get rich off of. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
I do like the $4 $100K. I think it's $10K to first. Again, it's not some huge money, but it's a pretty nice payout structure. It's only $29,000 in there, so that's not crazy. It's 20 entry max, $4. Like that one, I really like. Like I already max entered that one. Because the other like 20 max and 20 entry max one, because you know why a lot of people can't afford to, you know, 150 max stuff unless you're doing like this, the $1 or the
jukebox. Unless you're doing like the dollar or the penny slot.
Like the other ones, like people can't afford that. But I think this one, a 20 entry max, because a $3 20 entry max is like 500,000 people. Like no thanks, because there are so many people on that, and you're gonna be chopping that up.
You're gonna hit 500
people, and you're gonna be wanting to hate your life. Like I was saying, like if even if it was like 300 people that you're chopping that up with, people are gonna think that's crazy. It happens all the time. That's one frustrating thing with showdown. I took a showdown slate down last year, and thankfully it was just me and one other person up top. And so
I guess the question really is, Kev, and I don't want to interrupt you, is are you just locking your boy showdown killer himself, AJ Brown, your dude, into the captain for?
I mean, it's fate, right? I mean,
I know that's what I'm saying. Like
that's the way I played it.
You're gonna be rocking like your AJ Brown thong. You're gonna have your sweat, your hoodie on.
549ers.
Yeah. Oh man.
But yeah. I mean, Maddie, is that what you're doing? You're just playing one. You're just doing your old faithful one lineup and calling it a day.
Always.
Yeah, it's usually the Matty D way.
This is what I do, baby.
I mean, I'm off. I just on showdown. I can't
on showdown. I'll usually like, run like anywhere between 5 and 10. Like right now, I'm probably gonna run about like 5 or 6 lineups.
I mean, I still play single entry stuff. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't.
Yeah,
but
no, I mean it's like even if you are, you know, multi-entering showdown, I mean, the variance is so high that you can be just not high enough on the one guy that you need, you know, and your night's over. Even if you have like, 10,
you gotta hit the nuts game script, man. That's all it is in showdown. You gotta hit the nuts.
It's tough. You're always like, you play showdown, you're like, when a no-name guy catches the TD, you're like, oh, dang, you know, I definitely can't come in first now, but I should still, you know, be able to cash because that guy's probably only like 6%. Then you look at it, he's 32% in, and you're like, oh, God. My night's over.
I'm buried.
Yeah. So
you're like I'm just not even checking lineups for now.
Right. Yeah. So showdown's just a
very
whole different
feel piece. When that happens on the second drive versus happens in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know what's even worse is whenever the starting quarterback gets knocked out and the crazy people that play the backup quarterbacks.
Don't even bring that up. Because I'll say it right now. I'm not rostering any damn Chad Henne or Gardner Minshew. I'm not playing that. As many times as we've seen it happen, not in the biggest game. I just can't.
If I was playing 150 max, no, I would definitely have some. I would definitely create a few with those guys.
I don't want to root for that to happen.
No, I wouldn't want to either. But I mean, but that's what essentially this is what you're trying to do. I mean, one game you're trying to cover your bases and you're trying
to
cover.
You're gonna play that outcome, there's a lot of other variances to where
play the backup running backs and hope the starting running backs get hurt.
Well, to me, with the quarterbacks, if you want to play, even consider the narrative of quarterbacks getting hurt, to me, then you just X the quarterback out of some of your builds.
Yeah.
Because then your lineup's not dead if the quarterback goes out because all the skill guys are still in there. You're still getting exposure to the backup quarterback. And obviously Mahomes is in the optimal, but that doesn't mean that Kelsey and the other skill guys can't. So that's the way I get exposure to those types of outcomes.
Right.
I'm not rostering a
if you're doing 150, I would definitely probably have 2 or 3 lineups each with each backup quarterback and just, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, and the way that I approach about it, I'll just have a little bit more exposure to like single quarterback builds in that instance.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, so I guess let's 35 minutes in. Who are your favorite captains for this slate? Or your favorite captain options, I should say.
Maddie, do you want to start this? You want me to?
Go for it.
I mean, dude, we've already talked about Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Those are they're easy. I mean, that's the gimmies. For me, honestly, I'm gonna get wild on this game, man. My favorite play out of this whole damn game is Kenneth Gainwell. I love Gainwell in this game, and a lot of this comes down to, yeah, the Eagles are going to try to run the ball. Yes, all these different things. We talked about, oh, can you run on the Chiefs or not run on the Chiefs? If we like talk about either in the matchup, okay, what do we think or don't think about the Chiefs' run defense versus having to play catch up with the Kansas City Chiefs and they're just going to lean into the pass? Gainwell has owned the passing downs, and he has looked absolutely like the guy is playing 81% of third down snaps over the last or in the playoffs. He's looked really good every time they've given him the damn ball. And we know that, like, this is not just like this season, over multiple seasons, like Spags just lets like running backs just eat them up in the passing game. He does not give any shits about that. It's been multiple years. You can just pencil it in. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be probably like top five, top 10 in receptions and everything allowed to running backs. And again, that's the case this year. One of the ways that you beat the Kansas City Chiefs defense is not only like, do you utilize your running backs in the passing game? Because if you look at it, I'm looking at it right now, the Chiefs have allowed the most receptions, the fourth most receiving yards, and the seventh most receiving touchdowns to running backs. But the other part about this is that you beat the Kansas City Chiefs with short passing because they have had issues freaking tackling people all damn year. Like, they're fifth in yak allowed. They've allowed these sixth most missed tackles. And if you look at, like, okay, what are the short area options that can get a lot of yak for the Eagles? Yeah, it's A.J. Brown. Yep, it's Dallas Goedert. And, oh, my Lord, look at there. There's Kenneth Gainwell. Like, Kenny Gainwell leads the team in yak per reception. As well as you talk about the matchup, we talk about he's had 45% and a 35% breakaway run rate over the last 2 weeks. He's been awesome. And I think that he's honestly one of the cogs for how the Eagles need to attack this Chiefs defense. He's one of my favorite plays in this whole damn game, and that's whether flex. But large field captain, he is not going to be high owned. And legit, we've already seen in this playoffs, and I get that it was a blowout. I understand it was positive game script. We haven't seen a game where Kenny Gainwell has gotten like just a crap ton of usage in a close game. The Eagles beat the crap out of the 49ers. We all know what happened in that game. Gainwell gets he gets 16 opportunities. The week before that, they beat the crap out of the Giants. He gets 14 opportunities. He has over 120 total yards. He goes for 22 fantasy points. We'll do 22 DK points. But he's had other games this year, guys, where like he's had like 12 points, 11 points, where it's like he scored a touchdown. He's had other games where he didn't score a touchdown. I think that honestly, Kenny Gainwell, for what he allows you to do your lineups, his role in the offense, I think that he's got 20 point upside in this matchup. And if that's the case, at his 5K price tag for captain, you put him at captain. If he scores 20, I mean, you're doing a backstroke, man. Like, so he's honestly one of my favorite contrarian captains in this whole damn game. But the other guy that I'll touch on briefly and then kick this to Maddie is, if I'm going off the board with contrarian captains, the other guy that I like is Dallas Goedert. Since week 15, 18% target share. The Chiefs, since week 15, have allowed a low catch rate for tight ends, but they're also 22nd in receiving yards, 23rd in yards per reception allowed to tight ends. Again, we're talking about how you beat the Chiefs with yak. Goedert ranks third in yak per reception and ninth in missed tackles forced amongst all tight ends. So if you're looking at like, how are we going to beat the Chiefs pass rush? How are we going to create big plays off of short passes? I think that one of the easiest ways for you to get contrarian in this damn game outside of running Goedert or Gainwell at captain is to play Jalen Hurts. If you want to go at captain, that's fine. But double stack him with Gainwell and Goedert, and you're going to be different as hell.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it should be said too, especially with Showdown. Like, it's like there is definitely a scenario where a guy that is super cheap, you know, like a even like you mentioned, like you know, Kenneth Gainwell, like can definitely get there. But it opens up so much for you to be able to kind of play whatever it is you want that it can definitely be optimal, right? As long as, you know, like Kelce or Goddard or somebody doesn't just go absolutely nuclear. You know, that, you know, if everybody else just kind of has good games and not nobody just goes absolutely off the, you know, off the charts, then, you know, that could definitely be the most optimal way. You know, it can be an optimal captain because it allows you to fit everybody else in to be able to get the, you know, that in your lineup. And you're not going to be stuck with a guy who maybe, you know, may has six, you know, 60 K points or something like that. So it is definitely a smart move to try to, you know, fit in some of these super cheap guys. Cause I also think a guy like Kadarius Toney, I like him as a captain at 60.
That was going to be my answer.
I think that people are going to be afraid of him because of the questionable status and everything else. And I think he's going to be fine. He's had 2 weeks to be ready. And so I think he's going to be good to go. We know that, you know, without Mecole Hardman, they're going to need somebody like him. They're going to do a lot of different things with him. So $6,600 Kadarius Toney. I do like that. And then if you really want to get off the rails, I like Justin Watson isn't as crazy as it sounds because he plays a lot of snaps, and he is somebody they tend to take a lot of deep shots with, and you know they haven't always connected on them, but you know if they hit on one, you know, just one really solid deep shot for a touchdown, he could be in the optimal lineup. He could be the optimal captain if he goes out and gets a 70-yard touchdown.
I think that Watson comes down to Kev to like what you project as far as the final score. Like, does he make the optimal captain in a game where they put up over 50 points? That's, I guess, my question. Like,
right.
They surpass the total or come close.
It's a much more thin, like, it's not something I'm like saying, like, I want to have 30%.
Yeah, no. Captain. I'm just talking about, like, but from a theory standpoint, you see
right,
the game.
Like, yes, no,
out,
I would project, no, I'd probably
there
more of
if
a...
the game goes nuclear.
Yeah, if it goes nuclear, no, I wouldn't say that he is. But, you know, if you could, you know, if it's...
So you're playing him with, like, lower scoring builds, like, so maybe you're including a defense or something like that? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that.
But overall...
Sorry, I mean to cut you off.
I think up top, I think the guys, obviously, besides the most obvious, you know, names, you know, I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to be different. He's not going to carry much ownership whatsoever. And then deciding whichever Chiefs wide receiver... that, you know, Kadarius Toney or Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be extremely different because nobody's going to want to play either one of those guys coming off injuries. And so if one of those guys can get there, and again, we've talked about it a lot, if they're able to take Travis Kelce away, Juju Smith-Schuster has always been the kind of the safety valve for them of that guy that they look to. And, if, you know, a couple of weeks off, I guess, he had his knee. I think that's honestly what's been bothering him for the longest time since we've seen him kind of fall off and not, you know, since like week 15, week 16 of the season, I think he's been dealing with his knee injury and we just haven't really heard about it. But, you know, I do think that Juju could be another guy to look at as well. You know, if you want to at $8,400, another really kind of off the board kind of play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the Juju call. I don't hate Toney. I guess my problem with Toney is that like, yeah, he could go for two touchdowns. My problem with Toney, though, is he just hasn't been utilized.
Because he keeps getting hurt. Like,
well, I know. And that's the thing about it. He's dealing, like, I look at Juju as being a full go. I don't know if we see that for Kadarius Toney dealing with the high ankle sprain and the turnaround right now. Like, I mean, I know he's not with Mahomes, but he's a freaking wide receiver. It's a different conversation.
Yeah, but Toney hasn't been a full go since he was acquired. I mean,
now he's even more banged up. So, what do we think? Like, I mean, my problem with Toney is always like,
I just think anytime he's going to be on the field, he's going to be on the field near the end zone and, you know, high leverage situations. And when he's on the field, they're going to use him like they have been. Like, he doesn't need to be a 95% snap guy. Like, he can play his 25-30% snaps and he's still going to touch the ball, you know.
He has an incredible usage rate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, he
still going to touch the ball 10 times, whether it's carries, you know, near the goal line or you know, targets that are schemed his way. I mean, he should have caught a touchdown against Cincinnati last week before he got hurt. He dropped it, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, he's 4,400, right? He's the cheapest of the actual good players that are on the Chiefs. I mean, D, I know you can talk to us for an hour about how good Sky Moore actually is, but I mean he's
they're not gonna play him.
He's a little bit cheaper, but they're not gonna run him out there in the Super Bowl.
And he'll play, but it won't be.
I mean, yeah, he'll play like he'll run like 10 routes.
Justin Watson was inactive last week. He'll be back. Like I think Sky Moore is gonna be outside man looking in, but I think they have. I think it was evident last week that they were gonna utilize Tony a lot more than they have been until he got hurt. So if he's good to play, I'm just gonna have to assume that he's gonna get somewhat close to that usage, and he's 4,400, right? So you're already baking your risk into that price tag, and I just think nobody's gonna play him in the captain. And like you said, D, like he's got 2 touchdown upside because of his usage is high leverage usage. It's near the goal line, so he catches 3 passes and rushes twice and scores 2 touchdowns. I mean, you're looking at 18 to 20 DK points at 4,400. And when you play him at captain, I mean, that's not breaking the slate, but what he allows you to fit in, you can play both QBs, you can play AJ Brown, you can play Pacheco all together. And now all of a sudden you've got, every guy that is getting the ball that's, not Tony is on your team. And now you've got all the 20 to 25 point guys in your flex, and you've got an 18 point captain at 4,400. I just think he makes a lot of sense as a value with the upside that he has. But if I wasn't going there, I mean, I can't play. I can't, I can't back playing Jalen Hurts and captain, and he would be the one of the two.
No, I'm not either.
Just from how popular he's going to be, I would play him over Mahomes at captain. But
what do you think the optimal build is going to be? Like a 4-2-3-3?
I think it's a 3-3.
That's what I think. I think it's going to be a 3-3.
I think it's going to be a 4-2.
Yeah, but how are you building your 4-2?
How would you ask you that? Because if it was
are you going to go 4-2 Chiefs?
I would do 4 Chiefs, 2 Eagles, and it would be Justin Hurts. Or just
if Jalen I'm going 4-2, it's 4 Eagles, because I think 4-2 Chiefs is going to be the popular.
I think it's 4-2 Eagles, and the reason I think that is because the Eagles production is so condensed that you can get, you can play Hurts, you can play Goddard, you can play one of Brown or Smith, you can play Gainwell, and now you've got 4 guys that are gonna add up to 85% of the usage for the Eagles, whereas the Chiefs have literally 13 guys that can touch the ball. So yes, I think the Chiefs win, and so you can play Tony and captain with Mahomes and have those as your only Chiefs, and then that's just saying, okay, Mahomes crushes, the Chiefs spread the ball out, but Tony scores. And then you get all of the Philly production with 4 Philly guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And they're, the Philly production is so tight that I just think that going overweight on Philly guys makes a ton of sense.
I think that a lot of the ways that I'm going to kind of approach lineup building is either I'm just going to start my builds and not with the captain, but like I think that a lot of my builds are just going to be like Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey in the flex and then figure it out from there because we know where the damn ball goes. And like a lot of these like tertiary receivers like Juju, Tony, Sky Moore, like whoever the hell else, like a damn offensive lineman catches a touchdown. You get your exposure. If they don't hit ceilings, you're getting your exposure through Patrick Mahomes. And you're just saying that Kelsey hits a ceiling. And if you're not building with just like Kelsey and Mahomes in your lineup and then a crap ton of Eagles, I think that the other way that it makes a lot of sense to go too is that putting Patrick Mahomes with tertiary guys that he's negatively correlated with. Like if you're saying, okay, the Chiefs put up 35 points, Mahomes goes for 303 passing touchdowns, but none of those receivers hit a ceiling, but then Pacheco runs in another touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like I could see it being Patrick Mahomes, Pacheco, and Harrison Butker as being the optimal for the Chiefs in a 3-3 build.
Go back and look at Mahomes game logs like over the last couple years and pull up like his game logs in like his 450 yard games.
He can get there and not bring hardly anybody along.
There's been 450 yard games that he's had where not a single receiver has gone for 100 yards.
Yeah. Easily. And that's like where I think that you could build, if I'm building 4-2 builds with Eagles heavy, I think that you start your flex with Patrick Mahomes, you build your Eagles in, and it's like, what do I have left over for a Chief to correlate with Mahomes at the very end? Is that Jody Fortson? Like, fine, screw it. It's Jody Fortson. If it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, screw it. It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If it's Harrison Butker, sure, whatever. Let's go. Justin Watson, whatever. You know, and it's like, who catches a touchdown for Mahomes and probably like gets brought and along with Mahomes,
dude,
making optimal.
Again, I'll go back to what we kind of touched on. I don't know if it was the championship round or
division.
You
know where the ball's going with Philly. You don't know where the shit the ball is going in Kansas City.
But also Mahomes' rushing production has been pretty much half of what Hurts has been, but nobody gives him the credit for it. And yes, I know he's got a bum ankle, but that's gonna be better, I think.
2 weeks, baby.
After two weeks. But like, what if
Mahomes, he gave zero shits about running on that ankle, even when he was hurt in the damn game.
What if he runs in two touchdowns?
Yeah. You don't have to sell me on it. I'm totally down with that. I bet
you'd rather do a 1-5 and just put Mahomes at captain.
You absolutely
could. You absolutely can.
1,000% could. And you would be unique too.
Yes.
Oh, 100% unique.
Yeah. I was going to throw that out earlier. I'm glad you hit it, Maddie, because I was going to throw that out earlier. I was like, you know where the damn production goes. Or, hell, flipping the script, going a 5-1 Chiefs build and let Jalen Hurts be your only guy, but he's at the captain. How many times have we seen that? Like, one team stomps another team, and yet the wide receiver for the opposite team trailing the whole time is the optimal captain. That might happen here, but it's in the form of Jalen Hurts because he is the damn offense.
Yeah, I personally am probably going to, like, the more we talk about it, I'm probably just going to be underweight on Kelsey. And if I do end up playing Kelsey, it would only be in the captain just because I don't see Kelsey outscoring both Mahomes and Hurts in this game. And so if he does, that means Kelsey is smashing and then you would need him in captain. So I'm probably Kelsey captain only. Otherwise, Kelsey not in flex.
Well, and there's another way where you could play Kelsey at captain and not play Patrick Mahomes with him. I think that's, if I'm playing Kelsey at captain, that's probably the way that I'll play it. Because I think everybody automatically, if they're going to play Kelsey at captain, they're going to put Mahomes in their lineup. But, dude, it's easy to say, like, Mahomes can, like, Kelsey can get there and go for 100 and say, like, two touchdowns. And Mahomes could only throw for two touchdowns, and Jalen Hurts can outscore him and be the quarterback over Mahomes.
Kelsey could also catch 12 passes for 100 yards and not score, and Mahomes doesn't throw any touchdowns. And that's Kelsey's got 26 points right there. Yep. So
it's absolutely true.
I mean, if I was going to do that, I think I would plug in like Isaiah Pacheco as.
I personally don't see the Kansas City just getting stomped here. So yes, I agree with that, Kev. That you got to get the touchdowns from somewhere.
Yeah. It's kind of like it with either one of these quarterbacks. So that's why I like playing two quarterback builds in this game. But
I agree.
It's you're playing the game of, okay, if I'm leaving one of the quarterbacks out, what screws him over? How does he not get to the optimal lineup? Okay, well, if Mahomes is not getting to the optimal lineup, then it's going to be because of probably Isaiah Pacheco. If Jalen Hurts does not get to the optimal lineup, it's probably going to be Miles Sanders. So it's kind of like, if those guys don't hit the optimal, what the hell happened in this game and who went for two touchdowns that took off, you know, shaved off the top of like Mahomes' ceiling or Hurts' ceiling, and the opposite quarterback makes the optimal instead of correlating with the pass catchers?
Yeah, I mean, look at last week, right? We all said we were playing Jalen Hurts double premium stacks against San Francisco because of how good their run was.
Entire game got screwed.
And the whole game was Miles Sanders rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. Nah, Josh, I'm gonna put at least one quarterback.
Yeah, unless you're game scripting, like you think that this is gonna be some sort of like 16-10, kickers and defenses game.
Spoiler alert, it won't.
Yes, it won't. 100% is not.
But no, that's the only type of build where I would consider no quarterback is a game where you just think it shits the bed. Like it's 10 versus 3.
Yeah,
it's I do boring.
He right know. Above that, he mentioned AJ Brown captain in the chat, and I love the idea of one of AJ Brown or Devontae Smith, whoever's going to be the lower between the two.
AJ Brown's going to be the lower of the two.
I agree.
I think everybody and their damn mama is talking about Smitty and what he's done over the last few weeks. People are also talking about, I'm going to throw this out there. I hope L'Jarius Sneed shadows AJ Brown, because I'll tell you one thing, freaking Jalen Watson on the other side has been playing out of his damn mind. So I think if you're looking at like one of these guys being the easier matchup between the two different corners, give me AJ Brown versus L'Jarius Sneed.
Don't you dare disrespect L'Jarius Sneed.
Dude, okay? I'm not disrespecting L'Jarius Sneed, because L'Jarius Sneed played out of his damn head. Like, dude, he shut
too soon.
Devontae Adams.
Too soon.
What?
That's when he got hurt. That's when he got knocked
he
out.
He got a concussion.
Oh,
he literally played out of his head.
Bro, sorry, forgot about that. I was like, what the hell did I say? I was like, wait a minute, how could this be taken out of context? But I'll say this about Sneed. He played absolutely fantastic. They asked him to shadow DK Metcalf and Devontae Adams, and he shut both of those dudes down when he was on them. The reason I like AJ Brown versus Sneed is because I think if you're looking at the cornerback matchups, unless you're going to like Trent McDuffie in the slot, which Brown and Smitty both play outside over 70 to 75% of their snaps. I think that if you're looking at the cornerback matchups, if Sneed follows Brown, I like that matchup more than I like Smitty being on freaking Jalen Watson, because, dude, Watson has been playing awesome. Like, since I think it's like week 14, week 15, the dude has like a 63 passer rating allowed. He's been playing out of his mind.
I also think, too, I think the Chiefs are going to have a good game plan. Because, I mean, they play Josh Allen, right? Who can do all the things that Jalen Hurts does. The Chiefs have just.
What I'll say though is that Hurts has a better skill cast around him than Josh Allen did, though. You have more equation. Know,
yeah, I do.
You
I
don't know about that?
But I do think there's a scenario.
The receivers are.
And the tight end. We're not really going to have a conversation about Dallas Goedert being.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Come on.
You're right. Sorry, I was just, man, I put Stephon Diggs on such a high pedestal.
AJ Brown's that dude too, and I don't think there's really a conversation to be had versus Slim Reaper and Gabe Davis.
For sure, but just still, at the same time, I just think...
I would also like to add that, you know, we just saw this Chiefs defense do a really good job of really containing the Bengals, who I would argue is a much better offense than what the Eagles provide. Obviously, Burrow doesn't have the legs that Jalen Hurts has, but I would say there is certainly a scenario out there that this Eagles offense isn't as good as people that doesn't perform as good as well either. I think that is at the range of possibilities here. But you know, I'll put that out there. Obviously,
I'll take the Eagles offense over the Bengals offense, and I don't think that's a hot take. I really don't.
Excuse me.
I think that's a scorching hot take.
How is that a hot take?
Stop
Dallas
it.
Goedert versus Hurst.
That's the only advantage. That's
Miles
only
Sanders advantage. Versus freaking shit ass Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon has been terrible this year.
give me Miles Sanders.
Yeah,
he's talking about AJ Brown carries, and Jamar Chase.
The other 15 carries you get that aren't Miles Sanders are Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell.
Who, honestly, if you look at efficiency,
they're just
both
like,
of them have been better than Joe Mixon this year.
Samaje
Perine,
Burrow
is a better quarterback.
No, Burrow's a beast.
Burrow's phenomenal.
Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are both. I love AJ Brown. He is better than AJ Brown. He's better than Devonta Smith. T. Higgins is right there with him.
You think T. Higgins is better than Smitty? Because I think it's a really, I think it's a wash.
And then we also have to factor in Tyler Boyd, who is their number three wide receiver, is better than. Just shits all over whoever the Eagles number three wide.
Yeah, but I think Dallas Goedert's a better weapon than Tyler Boyd. And the offensive line for the Eagles is better.
But Hayden Hurst ain't no slouch in a pass game.
He's not exactly.
I'm just saying. I'm just like the Bengals offense is better than what
I agree.
I disagree.
Okay. Whenever they're out there playing the Giants, you know, every single week, all right? Yeah. Like they haven't played anybody, all right?
But saying, Kev. That's what everybody
are
is
they
saying.
Though?
Yes. Every have
are
you
are they though? Everybody
I know you're out on Twitter, but I think like everybody is saying how the Eagles
everybody's picking the Eagles to win.
Yes. You're with the crowd, D bro. You're with the crowd.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I think the Eagles
But it's win. It's fine, I'm but it's fine. I don't think the Chiefs are gonna just steamroll the Eagles. I don't think it's gonna happen. I think it's going to be relatively high scoring.
I agree. I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
I think it's going to be a back and forth. Like I'm talking about, like I think this game is going to be decided by three or less points. And I mean the line agrees, but I mean I don't think that's a hot take. But like I think this is going to be a close game all the way down to it. I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
I say 6 to 7 point victory for Kansas City because I think it's tied and Mahomes takes them down for a touchdown and then. The Eagles are forced to try to do the same thing and they don't.
Or 13 seconds in a field goal.
That's why I think I think Mahomes takes him down with like 2 minutes left and then we're like, all right, let's see what Jalen Hurts is made of. And he does not he doesn't come through.
See, so Josh, if that's what your prediction is, then I think you build differently. I think you build a little bit.
Yeah, if you think that the score is gonna hit the under, you automatically build differently.
I'd play
kickers. That's how you think the game goes.
And defenses in that build.
You
I mean, it's
the,
in, indoors.
Defenses and
it's indoors, so you can play kickers. And also, both of these defensive fronts have gotten after the quarterback all year. So,
dude, they're first and second in freaking pressure rate and sacks.
And I don't mind plugging in a kicker. I mean, Harrison Bucker at 4K. Bucker can,
I'm not playing Jake Elliott. I'll say that. I'm not.
That motherfucker can bang some 50-yard field goals with the best of them, and they will let him. For sure. And especially inside a dome. So
I think Kansas City is more likely to kick in like fourth and whatever situations than the Eagles are in this game.
So
I think Sirianni's going to be one of those Brandon Staley moments where it's like, dude, I got to go for everything. It's the Super Bowl. We're playing the Chiefs and playing Mahomes. I don't see the Eagles kicking a ton if they have the option. And they haven't really all year either.
About the only thing I can look at that like really gives you like any kind of correlation to like kickers or just looking at like teams that are good in the red zone and stall out drives for other teams. And if you look at them, like it's night and day, dude. So looking at both of these teams sticking under the microscope, the Philadelphia Eagles are 11th in red zone scoring rate. So like just allowing touchdowns. So they're top 12 in the league. Versus the Chiefs are 30.
They haven't played anybody.
So, but if you look at like those two teams, like, okay, well, Elliott's probably Eagles score. Elliott's not going to kick a lot of field goals. They're either going to end up scoring or the drive stall out before there. And Bucker has had, he's had more double digit DK games and the red zone defense is on his side. So I think I'm not playing Elliott. I'll say that. If I was playing 150, I'm Xing him out of my player pool. I'm playing Bucker.
Well, so who are the cheap guys that you have interested? Because I think it comes down to Jody Fortson. $200. You already talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, somebody that you like. Just like we talked about when we talked about it. Like if you're playing 150 and you want to throw him into a few lineups, fine. I'm not counting on that he's going to have any sort of.
I think my favorite cheap guys would be one of the two tight ends. So Fortson or Noah Gray.
Noah Gray for sure.
He's 1,200.
Yeah,
and then Quez Watkins is 1,400. Those are the three, I think. And I could see Justin Watson catching a 50-yard touchdown as well. But
For me, it's
I think that's less likely.
Remember Week 18 when we were high on Justin Watson and he was like 1 inch away from scoring that touchdown.
Yeah, he got tackled at the 1 yard line.
Yeah. Jesus. Because we got on to him late and then we decided to play him. He had that 67 yard and just got tackled like right there at the 1 yard
down
line.
To like the 1 inch line.
Yeah.
Super tilted. Looking at guys below 4K, I mean, not talking about the defenses, obviously, but like Boston Scott makes sense in builds where you correlate with team him with the Eagles defense. Outside of that, I'm not playing him because it's the only where he makes sense. I'm not on Quez Watkins only because they've been splitting him and Zach Pascal. For me, if I'm going cheap, I mean, honestly, the list is short, guys. It's CEH, and for me, it's Jody Fortson. The rest of them, I don't really give a shit about. Like,
I honestly, I personally like the balance build this week.
I do too.
Everybody's going to jam in on those super, super top studs, both QBs and Kelsey, and it's just gonna inherently lead to people playing the Fortsons and the Noah Grays and the Quez Watkins and the kickers and the defenses and things like that. And it's like, you can build a really good team that gets a lot of touches with Pacheco, Miles Sanders, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, good Dallas Goedert, all those guys that are in the 6 to 8K range or even 9K range with AJ Brown. So I'm probably going to end up with a balance build myself and go both QBs with balance build probably.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll be Tony Kaffin or not, but I will definitely be toying around with that.
Like, you can make an easy team with double QBs and, I mean, all of these guys in the freaking, like, 6K range have 20 to 25 point upside. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
I mean, this is going to make me vomit. I actually like MVS in this game. I think he's going to get squeezed. I think if people are going to play somebody.
If nobody plays him, I like him.
Nobody's gonna, dude. Look at the.
I think people are gonna play him. I think people are gonna play. They're gonna see.
You're gonna get casuals playing him, but I don't think the.
That is something that needs to be, because you are going to get a ton of casuals playing this week. It's Super Bowl. It's only one game. People are gonna want something to do. They have all these huge contests. You are going to get people that never play Showdown.
I still don't think MBS is going to be popular, Kev. Like, really?
I don't think it'll be popular.
I mean,
there's no way.
I think he is going to be the highest owned Chiefs wide receiver.
I mean,
that's because he's the only one anybody feels any good about.
I mean,
Year for this ride. Like, I do not believe he's going to do again what he just did last.
No, but. Here's my pushback about him being popular. If you look at pricing, at within $1,000 of him, there's Pacheco, there's McKinnon, there's Goddard. People are going to play all those dudes over him. Or they'll go down Juju. Like,
I don't think they will. I don't think people are going to play Juju. Being hurt and, you know, the knee injury and him missing last week. And the same thing with Kadarius Toney. I think everyone's just going to play MBS because everyone knows he's going to be healthy.
All right, Kev. Well, how about this one? What if I toss you to this? If you're fading Kelsey, what about a double stack with MBS and Juju?
You could do that. Like, yeah, that's definitely it. I mean, that could definitely be in play. I mean,
if Kelsey fails,
I don't necessarily
wide receivers, or it's got to be Pacheco.
Well, again, we've talked about, you know, Mahomes can go for 450 and nobody can go with him. And he can also run to him with his legs. So I wouldn't necessarily, I'm personally probably not playing Kelsey, as terrifying as that sounds, and just hoping for the variance of the floor game shows up. And
that's just you're playing one lineup, but I said,
but I just think if Philly decides to take him away, you know, Mahomes can just do a lot of different things to a lot of different guys. You don't necessarily have to jam in multiple Chiefs. Like, Mahomes by himself or Mahomes with one guy is absolutely feasible.
And if I'm playing 3 to 5 lineups, I'm having one with Kelsey at captain.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For sure. Yeah. And that's the way I view it. Like, I feel like I feel like even if you're playing him, I play him in the captain spot. Yep.
Like, 150 captain exposure you're going to have to Kelsey, Kev. 20%? Yeah, I mean, are you going to match the field or are you going to be underweight? I'm guessing he's probably going to come in, what do you think, like 30s, 32?
A captain? No way.
You think he's gonna be higher?
No, I think he's gonna be lower at captain.
You think Kelsey's gonna be lower at captain?
Yeah, he's probably not gonna be at 30's too high. I mean, because I mean, you only have you only have someone. So much
I think Jalen Hurts will be the highest owned captain at like 17. 20 to 25.
Will be you Jalen think Kelsey's Hurts. Gonna be 20 to 25?
No, no, no. I think Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the highest owned captain at 20 to 25.
Where do you put Kelsey at?
I think Hurts will be 25 to 30% of the captain.
Okay.
I think Mahomes comes in probably around 20%. And then I think Kelsey will probably sit in like the.
I think Kelsey's like 15 captain. Yeah.
I think Mahomes and Hurts probably cannibalize each other. I'll look at both of them like 20 to 23% guys. Maybe there's a slight lean one way or the other. I'm talking off the top of my head. 30% stuff like high shit. But like, I do think that Kelsey will be. I won't be surprised if he's the second most popular captain here. If he ekes out one of the quarterbacks, that will not surprise me at all.
I think he's probably going to be the highest owned captain with
non quarterback,
you know, of non quarterback. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think easily.
I think 2/3 of the field will have Hurts, Mahomes, or Kelsey at captain. So you are already
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think
you're already going to be different if you just don't play one of them at captain.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't play them at captain, you're dodging what are we saying cumulatively 40%, 45% of the captain exposure?
Oh no, 60. I'd say like 60.
Yeah. I'm saying on the low end. You're probably right. Like it's probably closer to 50 or 60%. But again, that's how you. Like Josh threw it in here. Do you solo ship or do you just build? I think it's a mix of the both. I think it's a mix of the two, Josh. I think it's like it's getting different, but your lineup has to tell a story.
And because
I'm not just throwing asinine stuff in there just to be like, I don't want to get a dupe.
I'm not playing Jody Fortson and captain because I'm the only person with it. No. It's like I want to play AJ Brown.
I bet you Osimo does. I bet you Osimo has like a Fortson. Captain lineup
probably, but it's like I want to play AJ Brown and captain because he's actually a good player and he's 3% owned captain. Yeah. Like those are the kind of plays you want to make to be different.
If you cannot craft a narrative, and I'll say this, if you can't craft it, so with this being a high total game, if you cannot craft a narrative, and I'm not talking about just like off the wall ridiculous kind of shit, if you can't craft a reasonable narrative where a guy has 20 points, 20 DK points in his range of outcomes, he's not in my captain exposure.
Yep.
Straight up. Agreed. Not in this type of game. If we were talking about a game that was like the total was like 30, like 40 to 43, 44, sure. Not in a game where it's like it's a 51 point game. It's going to be high paced. It's going to have a lot of points scored. If you don't have 20 points in your range of outcomes, no, not in the captain exposure.
Yeah, because I mean, this feels like a game where we're probably going to see, because I mean, there's plenty of showdown slates where like 88 points, 90 points, you know, is the optimal lineup. But this feels like a 140.
Dude, point. This feels like a 120 banger, 130 or some shit like that.
Yeah. I think that's probably more likely.
I
think you should be building to solo ship. I mean, you're not trying, but that doesn't mean you're playing Jody Fortson. It means I'm being overweight to AJ Brown or overweight to Isaiah Pacheco. Like because
good players.
Like min cashing isn't going to do anything for me. So we're still trying to take this damn thing down. And so
top heavy, you have to.
Like, that's how you get different. I mean, you're not getting different by like you know playing some you know. Some random you're
fading just, both QBs and
yeah, doing all that.
Yeah, stuff. Like no, you could build some dumbass lineups and just
oh,
be like,
sure, I mean, you solo. Could do some... Yeah, sure. If you want to build one YOLO lineup, just have fun with, fine, do it. But like, that's not what you're. That's not should be what you're like.
You might know, as well walk in the backyard and just light your money on fire. But
yeah,
I think
going AJ Brown or Devonta Smith or even Dallas Goedert for that matter is going to be super different. Or playing, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling at captain or
Tony.
You know, Kadarius Tony are very different, or Isaiah Pacheco.
I think so all these... Hold on, Kev, before you move over. I was just thinking about that, and I went on my long narrative or rant about 20-point upside. You look at Pacheco's game logs, and the more I'm looking at it, like, I like him a crap ton for the flex, but I don't know if I could get down with him at captain, but what are y'all's thoughts, man? Because... I mean, legit, even his good games, 13, 11, 12, 12, 10,
those are with touchdowns, right?
12, 16, 15. Yeah, a lot of those.
The
only pushback I would give you is if he sees the same similar type of pass catching work that he saw last time, that's the thing exactly. we haven't seen, right?
That's
he
what I was going to say
last week.
13.5 and he didn't score.
He did score, but they called it back on a damn points. Holding call, yeah. or else he would have.
Oh, dude. I remember that. I was tilting my freaking face off.
Yes. And so Isaiah Pacheco very well could, and if he gets that same type of pass catching work, because six targets was paid. So he definitely has a decent ceiling. And again, he doesn't have to go nuclear. He doesn't have to score 35 to be in the Othwell at his price at 7,200. I mean, if he scores 18 DK points and the captain, you know, he's going to be at like 25, 26 DK points, and that could be more than enough to be able to fit in everything else that you're going to need in that lineup. Mm-hmm. There could definitely be guys scoring higher than them. The captain spot's necessarily not always about the guy who kind of scores the most overall fantasy points. It could definitely be a guy who scores less, but he's so much cheaper that he provides such a boost to the rest of your lineup that you're able to fit everybody else in to be able to bring that lineup along is definitely possible. The only way that it really kills you is not having that would be like if Travis Kelce went out and had 9 for 180 and 3 scores.
Yeah, he scores 100%.
He has to be in your captain. Like, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. But if that's not what happens, and none of these guys just go absolutely nuke, then that's when these other guys come into play. That you can play some of the cheaper guys and still have all the other studs in there, and it still pays off, and that ends up being the winning lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think somebody nukes, put them in captain. Otherwise, if you don't think somebody nukes, I think the cheaper captain makes a lot of sense. And other guys can still have really good games and still score 20 to 25 points. And they're optimal in the flex because your 18-point guy that's way cheaper is now in your captain spot. And you have those 20 to 25 guys. But if you think somebody's good and getting 40, they need to be in your captain.
I think we've already kind of touched on this, but the way that I'm building for this game, I'm going to be drastically underweight, if not like hard fading Jarrett McKinnon. What do y'all think?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I'm just higher on Pacheco considering the flipping usage. And I think that whether you're telling yourself like it's health, or schematically the Chiefs are like trying to throw teams off, whatever narrative that you're telling yourself, like it's hard for me to craft a good narrative to say, okay, Jarrett McKinnon is a good captain play. Like, he's not doing shit on early downs. He's been a terrible rusher. He basically has to get through it in the passing game.
Last week's usage should absolutely be an indicator for how they're going to use guys this week.
Yep.
I mean, you obviously have to factor in matchups.
It screams, man. It's screaming.
But when you're in a AFC championship against the Bengals, you are going to throw the kitchen sink. You're not holding anything back. You're not saving anything for the Super Bowl. Like, your guys that are out there that you're utilizing in a certain way, that those are the guys you're trusting to win that biggest game of the year. And, I just think if Pacheco seeing six targets or whatever it was last week, I don't think that was a fluke for this time of year.
I think that I really like some lineups right now with going Pacheco and Gainwell in the same lineup, because you're getting the leverage off of both McKinnon and Miles Sanders.
I don't know. The more we talk about it, I don't hate a Pacheco Mahomes.
Nope. I like
4-2 Eagles build.
Yeah. I like that.
Get in 4 Eagles,
because that's you're playing out so many different narratives. It's like, okay, how does Jarrett McKinnon fail? Okay, Pacheco gets there. How does Kelce fail? Okay, Mahomes spreads the ball around and Pacheco gets there.
Also, if Pacheco does have this new pass catching role, D, how many times have I told you that Mahomes ceiling games, he takes the running back and sometimes Kelce with him.
Yep.
But it's mainly the running back catching touchdowns that correlates with Mahomes' ceiling. So
it's all the pop passes they do at the damn goal line.
I wouldn't even be afraid to captain Mahomes with Pacheco as the only chief with him.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. I mean, there's so many different ways. Like, if
Mahomes runs one
running,
in or runs two in, Pacheco catches one. Like, there's just so many ways that could go right for you.
There's so many different ways you could build Pacheco lineups if you're hand building. What's up, Kev?
I said even having Pacheco at captain and still having Mahomes in the lineup for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, McKinnon had a couple 30-point games, and those correlated with Mahomes' ceiling. Like, they both – but, you know, if you put those two scores on this slate at their prices, McKinnon would be the one that would need to be in the captain because he's cheaper.
Well, it's like, what, again, going back to what kind of story are you telling yourself? It's like, okay, well, teams pass to get up, and then they run the ball late. Okay, well, Pacheco can, in that type of game scenario where the Chiefs, like, you know, beat the Eagles, and I'm not saying they beat the brakes off of them, but beat them, like, by 10 points, and they're up for most of the game. Then it's like, okay, yeah, you could swing me a narrative where Pacheco's in captain, Mahomes is in the flex, and then you have a crap ton of Eagles because the Eagles were playing catch up for the most of the game. You know, like, I can get behind that. Because there's an easy story to build. If Pacheco has, oh, that's a good question, Josh. Jarrett McKinnon would be mine. Top fade.
Who's your top fade, Maddie?
I'm going to say Kelsey too, aren't you, a psycho?
I'm going to say Kelsey in the flex.
Okay.
I'm not playing Kelsey if it's not in captain.
Okay. Who's your top fade, Kev?
Well, that was he took mine. So I'm gonna say MVS. I'm gonna say MVS. I'm gonna go MVS.
Oh,
all
right.
I just think $6,200. Like he's
been.
Are we buying? How much are people gonna be buying into the narrative or the recency bias of what he just did? And I think that is what's going to be the problem. I think people are going to see the Chiefs pass catchers that are hurt, all these other people, and people are going to want to play, you know, another pass catcher from the Chiefs, and there's going to be MVS. I think it's going to be a mistake. I have seen way too much MVS where he gets you 2 or 3 or 4 points, and that is not going to cut it at $6,200 at his price tag when there's multiple Chiefs that are cheaper than he is. I think he is the easiest fade on the slate.
God, I really like the more and more we've talked through it, I really like the build with Mahomes and Pacheco. Like, if he holds that type of pass catching role in this game, it's not crazy to say that he's got 2 touchdown upside, like that he goes for 1 on the ground and 1 through the air.
I mean, give him 2 touchdowns throughout his whole since he took over, and he's looking at, like, what, 25 to 26 points each week?
Yeah,
I mean, he scores 13.
He scores 2 last week, he's at 25.5. He scores 2 the week before. You're looking at 23. The one before that, 18. The one before that, 18. The one before that, like 22. It puts him somewhere in the realm of, like, I mean, but here's the thing. It's like almost like a lot of his stat lines that I think that, you know, we play this the range out with these guys. Like, okay, add 2 touchdowns to any of their lines. His stat line last week looked nothing like any other stat line for the entire rest of the damn season. So it's like, are we seeing a brand new role for a player? And then he's got more, you know, you toss the 2 touchdowns. Pacheco might have 25 plus point upside. Mm-hmm. Like, he only ran for freaking 26 yards last game. If he runs for 60, you're looking at, 17 points. You toss 2 touchdowns on top of that, he's almost going for 30.
Yeah, and you can't really run on the Bengals, but you can run on Philly.
You can run on Philly. You can.
I think I would ignore the Saquon games against them because that's all the Giants have. Yeah, they don't have anything else.
Agreed.
Yeah.
McCaffrey just ran all over him without a quarterback.
I mean, here's my thing, man. I really think, and we talked about this last week, whenever we talked about week 20 or whatever, but I think Pacheco has been simmering around like a big game, and he just hasn't put it together the entire time. It's like he runs versus Jacksonville. He runs for freaking 95 yards. Doesn't get in the end zone. The week before that, he has 8 carries for only 64 freaking yards. Like, he's been hovering around, like, you go back a few weeks, 15 for 86, 13 for 70. Like,
oh, yeah, his yards per are really good.
Like,
and I also think CEH being back could lower his ownership.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that call. I definitely think that could be the case.
Well,
do y'all think it's viable to play 2 Kansas City Chiefs running backs in the same lineup? Because I don't think that's the way that I'm going to go, but I could probably get my head around playing 2 Eagles, but kind of curious what y'all think.
I wouldn't play Pacheco and McKinnon, but I'd be okay with playing Pacheco and CEH probably just because of pricing.
Yeah, pricing.
Not because I think they both smash, but
I could see the like, look, put it this way. Look at the game script we saw play out last week, like, or versus San Francisco. Everybody failed for the Eagles because all the touchdowns came on the ground. What if that happens again, but Hurts isn't the one banging them in? Like, see touchdown for Miles Sanders. See 1-2 for Kenny Gainwell. Like, I could get behind two Eagles running backs. If we're getting just really contrarian and Largeville stuff, I can get behind that more than I can get behind a viable build with two KC backs.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we know the Eagles running backs are going to rotate. We know that
they're going to play more fluid. If Pacheco really holds this type of role, he's going to be the lead back, you know, versus the Eagles. It's like the Chiefs. It's funny, man, because it's like in the passing game, we have no clue where the damn ball is going outside of Kelce in the passing game, but you know where the ball is going when they run the ball. The vice versa is true for the Eagles. When they pass the ball, we know where the ball is going. When they run the damn ball, shit, it could be Hurts, could be Sanders, could be Scott, could be Gainwell.
Yeah. And the Chiefs have historically, or at least over the last, you know, five-ish years, they've relied on one main guy and then mixed in another guy as like a pass-catching third down guy occasionally, but it's never been like a, you know, 50-50 split between the two. Like Kareem Hunt dominated until, you know, he had his issues. And then, I mean, Damian Williams came in and he became the guy. But, you know, he still rotated in with, I don't remember who the backup to him was. I think Darryl
Williams.
Yeah, Darryl Williams, the other Williams. But
or
like
LeSean McCoy or Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, but it's like, it's guys that come in sparingly. And yeah. I think we've just gotten to that point with Pacheco that, you know, it's, we're in the Super Bowl and he's a rookie, right?
Yeah.
So they're, you know, finally taking the reins off of him. And it's the last game of the year.
He played what? I think it was like 57. I got to pull it up. 57% of the snaps last week. Like, what if we see a Pacheco game just playing this out? Good Lord, apparently Pro Football Reference hates me. Doesn't want to search anything. What if we see an Isaiah Pacheco game where he gets – because, yeah, he played 57% of the snaps last week. What if we see – and that was a season high. We're playing out variance. We're playing out range of outcomes here. What if we see a game where Isaiah Pacheco legit plays 70% of the snaps? 75%
of
the snaps.
It's possible. I mean
– it's possible, but the only thing that would worry you with that is his ability to pass protect. He struggles with that. So I don't think that it would be hard for me to see him get 70% of the snaps.
I don't think he needs 70%, though.
No, I don't think he does either.
He's like Tony. When he's on the field, they're gonna scheme to him.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the range possibility. He plays like 60% of the snaps, like, you know, a little bit more than what he did last.
Because I mean, last week was a back and forth affair in a must win game against a very good Bengals team. Like
he was out there more than McKinnon.
Yeah, yeah. McKinnon. Was
I think that says something.
On the field.
Like their biggest game of the freaking year, and he hits a season high in snap count. That's not nothing, man. That's not nothing at all.
And I don't think the Tony usage was nothing either on the first drive.
So are we saying you get wild with Mahomes and you go Pacheco and Tony?
You absolutely could.
I don't hate it. I mean, I don't hate it at all.
Well, let's
how you fade Kelce.
Let's build a lineup here.
All right, let's do it and get the heck out of here.
Maddie's got to go play Legacy.
I might sneak in some Hogwarts before
let's,
I go to bed.
Let's agree on a what captain do we want to go with? Do we go Pacheco? We decide to mull up this entire time, or do we go?
I mean, we have to, right? We just talked about him for 18 minutes.
Pacheco captain, baby.
All right, we got Pacheco. So, D-Bro.
Let's get the easy correlation out of the way. Let's go Mahomes.
Maddie.
Hurts.
Kev, to you? You got, what, 5,600? Some change?
I think we can make this work. So I'm going to lock in A.J. Brown for right now.
Oof. All right. Shiza. So who's it to? Me?
Yeah.
Gainwell.
Oh, Lord.
2,800.
We got some options. You like your Justin Watson boy? We got
Quez. Yeah, we can go Watson. That's good. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's
a 3-3.
It's a 3-3, and this plays out a storyline of Mahomes and Hurts get their high scoring game. Kelce fails. Miles Sanders fails. Devonta Smith fails. Yeah, I can dig it.
You know, we could do if we wanted to switch and go 4-2. I could be okay with dropping from AJ Brown down to Goddard.
I like that a lot more.
Well, I guess it would still be a 3-3. Or you.
Well, you get off of Watson. Where can you go from Watson?
I mean, probably you can get up to Tony.
You can go Tony. You can go Juju.
Yeah.
You got 5,600. If you go Tony, you're not using all your salary. You're leaving 1,400 on the table. Like,
do you
that
keep
more.
It the same as a 3-3, or do you jump off Gainwell and you could actually fit in MVS in this, and you could go. You'd have Pacheco, Mahomes, Tony, with you know, either. I mean, you could really go anybody. You could go MVS. You could still go Juju if you wanted, and then you'd still have enough for. Then you'd have Juju or Jalen Hurts and Goddard. So it'd be a 4-2 Chiefs.
You could. It just depends on how you know if you want to go 4-2, 3-3. I mean, do y'all think that 3-3 is going to be the popular build? I mean, I don't. Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just
but,
it's
well,
it's
put it this way: the popular build with game, the weird captain went, that we have.
Now, what we have a captain is definitely different. So we're different.
Well,
I was going
to say, yes, I think you can go 3-3 in this build. With the fact that we're already off the damn beaten path.
We're leaving 1,200 on the table.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a ton in Showdown. I mean, there's lineups that you can
What do we have right now? Pacheco, captain.
So, if we leave it this, we have 1,200 on the table. We'd have Pacheco, Mahomes, Hurts, Goddard, Gainwell, and Tony.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's a solid squad there.
Like, I like that a crap ton because you just basically cut out the top, like, the way that people are going to build and stack these quarterbacks, it's legit going to be Kelce, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. You cut all of them out. We just faded all three of them.
All right. Well,
it's pretty sexy. I like that. Thank you, Kev, for building. We just built the Bentley here.
Yeah.
You love to see it. You really do.
I'll show you my PayPal after we win.
Venmo me, man.
All right, yep, it's locked in. All right,
actually, well, I want it in cash.
I'm still waiting for Kev to pay for me a million entry.
I'll buy you a Super Bowl square entry. You want that?
No, I actually got to pony up with that, Kev. What's the deets?
Oh yeah,
again?
Shoot, I forgot about that. Yeah.
What's the deets again? It's your son's team.
Yeah, 12U. Team, baseball yep. team.
I'll be in. Ryan's always first before all of us. Like, you think Ryan's not even like looking at the chat, and he's like, "Man, I just bought five squares," and I'm like,
"Well, what? That's because he's a brand new he's a brand new dad, so he's probably bottle feeding his kid."
Yeah, well, I'm also a really good friend, and I actually sent him a bunch of stuff for his baby too. So through Amazon, bought a bunch of stuff. So
make me feel like a bad guy. Thanks, Kev.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan. Too. Just so you know, I'm the only one that did probably of all your friends here. Okay.
Yeah.
I sent you a really some onesies, some Chicago Cub onesies. I bought that, sent that to him, some Bears stuff and some diapers. So, you know.
Nice.
I mean, what are you even doing in life if you're not buying the man a Justin Fields onesie? What are we doing?
I was gonna buy him some Chief stuff, but I don't know if they'd do it.
You should send him a Mahomes Bear jersey.
Oh, I was going to say, you should have sent him a Davante Adams onesie. That's true for the D-gens that have been around here for a minute. What a Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Could have that one, too.
Yeah.
Or Mike Glennon, because that was his guy at one point, too.
Especially being a Bears fan, any kind of Packers gear would be well-received. You can get the old Davante Adams, like Packer. I say the old. Yeah. He's not a Packer anymore.
Yeah. So, anyways. All right, let's get out of here. And now, you know, true DFS DJ Nation fashion, hour and a half showdown slate.
We still have 28 more minutes.
I don't think
you guys can have 28 more minutes.
Yeah. So, anyways, Maddie...
go ahead, Kev. Go ahead.
I appreciate everybody rocking with us all year. It's been another fun year, another productive year. You know, we had some takedowns. I took down a slate. Maddie got sent off to King of the Beach or whatever it was.
Yes, sir.
You know, some final stuff. So that was awesome. It's been a productive year. Had a lot of fun. season's finally come to an end. Obviously, we're out here for TFA. It's not over. We still have a bunch more content coming. You can jump over and check out the TFA podcast feed. D-Bro will be right back on tomorrow night. He's
going back to back.
Yeah, and we're doing Senior Bowl tomorrow, and we're going to talk about some Dynasty stuff as well. So that should be fun. Cody will be on there for that. And then, you know, we got NFL draft content coming. Free agency starts in a couple weeks. The combine starts the combine's in a couple weeks. NFL free agency is a month away, and the NFL draft's about, 2 months away, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it'll all kick back up again, and we'll be right back here again next September talking about DFS once again, DraftKings. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully Missouri by that point will legalize gambling so I can actually start, you know, building some parlays and stuff like that. Because right now, the only thing they have is DFS. So if they can get on that, I'd fucking appreciate it. So anyways, hope everybody has a good Super Bowl Sunday. Stay safe out there. Let's win some money one more time. If you want, you can jump into our Discord as well. That's absolutely free. So if not, we will catch you guys again next year. Have a very good Super Bowl. Go Chiefs. Fuck the Eagles. Chiefs by 100. I'm out. You think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Used to the way the war about. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Yo, tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, then you can be little man.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.